All right, beautiful. Andrew, lead us in.
Me? Okay.
All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the official podcast. Jackson here. I'm very excited this week because we have a very special guest with us right from Japan. Possibly our first guest from Japan. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I feel like it's probably correct. Chris from abroad in Japan. How's it going?
Good evening, lads. Good to be with you all today from North Japan. Oh, I'm proud to be the first and only guest from Japan so far. That's a delight. Yeah, thank you for having me on.
We can't have any more people from Japan on the show.
Yeah, no, definitely not. On.
He speaks for them all.
Okay. Chris, I hope you can spend the following hour dashing all of our hopes of Japan being paradise that we all want to see, and how they mistreat you for being a gaijin, and how anime culture misrepresents Japan.
Oh, good God. We're going to go down that rabbit hole, are we?
That's the reason we brought you on the show, let's be honest.
We don't want to be excited for anything, please.
Fact-checking anime.
I'll do my best to spill all the goss on Japan, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Don't you worry.
Beautiful. Thank you. All right, go ahead and start. What's the worst thing about Japan?
The worst thing about Japan, probably the love hotels, to be honest. They really? Sound good, but they're not.
Really?
Are you familiar with the concept? Really? Are you familiar with the concept of a love hotel?
Yeah.
You know what they are?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you go in and you pay like $50 and you get like what looks like a nice room for $50. You get it for one night and it comes all sorts of cool stuff, like a nice bed, nice karaoke, sometimes a jacuzzi. But often they're really dirty and scummy and unpleasant. And the worst night's sleep I ever had was in a love hotel. I woke up and there was just a cockroach walking across my pillow. I was out there and then to never go in a love hotel again.
I don't think you're meant to be sleeping at love hotels, right?
I'm going to dig myself a hole there, but it was unpleasant, but no, I suppose they're all right. I suppose love hotels aren't that bad. That isn't the worst thing about Japan. Just be careful which love hotel you find yourself in, particularly the ones in Shibuya in Tokyo. Have any of you guys actually been to Japan? Like, how much do you know about the country?
No, only physically wanted to, no. but
spiritually.
No, we all wanted to. We even had plans to go as a group, but then your neighbors China decided to just release a virus and put all the travel on hold, so we can't. Really, we do want to, though.
It was a real shit show. I had so many people coming over last year. I think PewDiePie was supposed to move to Japan last year as well, but didn't as a result. But still make sure you come over, though. Like, there's a lot to see and a lot to do, and it's a pretty awesome country when all the dust settles eventually.
Yeah, we're still definitely planning on coming over once coronavirus ends.
So would you agree then?
My most desired destination.
Would you agree then on that sentiment where it's like Japan is kind of a wonderland? Where just all the things that people say about it are right and true, and there is just a whole bunch of great shit, a lot of advanced technology. Do you think that rings true for it?
It's not like that technologically advanced. It's not as like super duper technologically advanced as people think, because they still use fax machines, for God's sake. I mean, I don't even know what they are. Fax machines. They are phased out in like the 90s in the UK, but they still use them every day here.
Maybe they're really high tech fax machines.
This is the goss. Japan is not the paradise we think it is.
I mean, I think it is maybe the closest to a utopian society there might be in the world. And that's a bold statement, but it gets a lot of things right. I remember my like first year living in Japan, I was in Starbucks like editing a video and I really wanted to go to the toilet. And I was like, shit, I've got to close down my laptop, put it all in my bag and my wallet and my phone, or I could just go to the loo and leave it all there on the table. Now, I would never have done that in the UK. I would have like locked it away in a bag, shoved it in a safe, then gone to the toilet. But because it's Japan, I was able to leave all my stuff on the table, go to the loo, come back and it was all there. And things like that are nice. You never have to look over your shoulder in Japan. Crime is pretty low and it gets a lot of things right like that. Yeah. And everything seems to work.
So going on that kind of tangent though, Japan's population diversity. I mean, they're like 98% Japanese. You don't ever feel maybe discriminated against or nothing negative from you being a foreigner in that way, then?
Have they ever been racist to you?
Yeah.
Please say yes.
Well, We're going straight in, straight in the deep end.
We want to hear the worst, because everyone who goes to Japan, and especially people who make vlogs, they're always like, oh, it's great, and here's the cultural differences, but I don't know how deep they get into the nitty-gritty of like, yeah, here's what sucks, here's what I hated. You know what I mean?
They threw sushi at me. They called me a baka gaijin.
They threw sushi at me. It's honestly, I've never experienced any form of racism that's made me feel uncomfortable, which is insane. Like, I'm always on the hunt for it. Like, if I experience racism, I'm
discriminate me,
perpetual
call me slurs, please.
I long for the day. I thought it would have happened by now where I could talk about an experience of incredible racism in a YouTube video, but it hasn't happened, and I'm quietly
start being racist to yourself. The only thing, try to get other people to do it to you.
Well, yeah, I should racist terms. Just bribe someone to like, punch me in the face. But that's not entirely true. One form of discrimination you get is when you rent a place. Like, a lot of places in Japan, they don't rent apartments to foreigners, and that's something you got to face. Like, I remember when I first moved to Sendai, where I am now, it took me like 2 or 3 attempts to get a place. Like, I called up and they were like, oh yeah, you can live here. And then when they discovered I was foreign, they were like, oh no, it's very difficult, fuck off. And that was pretty depressing to have that kind of experience.
Yeah, but why? That's
just
pretty,
because
fucked up.
I think they don't trust. I think a lot of foreigners just run away without paying the bill or something. I guess the point, like, if you're a Japanese person who owns an apartment and you get 10 people and one of them's foreign, you're probably going to do it with, you're probably going to rent it out to one of the 9 people that are Japanese, right? It's a bit more, it's a bit safer of an option, right?
That's funny, because we do the exact opposite to expats in Turkey. So if you're a foreigner, like an American, wanting to rent a place, your landlord's going to be like, oh, finally, someone's not Turkish. This guy might actually pay. He's not going to stink up the place. You'll be civilized.
If only. But I mean, that is the most kind of the only racism I've really experienced that's made me feel a bit depressed or sad. Other than that, people are pretty nice. Older people can be a little bit dodgy. I remember I was in a waiting room for a train just 2 days ago, and an old man came in and saw me, and I must have been in his favourite seat or something, because he kept looking at me and going like that. And over the period of half an hour while I was waiting for the bullet train, he incrementally got closer to me and kept going. It's like a fucking horror movie, and I wanted to turn around and go, what are you fucking doing? But I'm a nice person. I didn't do that.
They let anyone in this country
now. I guess that's another form. Yeah. Deported for shouting at an old man and giving him a heart attack. But yeah, I guess that's another form. Elderly people can be pretty dodgy sometimes here. If you're going to experience racism in Japan, it's going to be from someone who's over 70. That's all I'll say.
I feel like that's the same as everywhere, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Most racist people are generally pretty old.
So your natural instinct there on wanting to tell them to fuck off, would you say Japan has made you kind of more toned down, more socially reserved? How has it affected you living there?
I think, I'm less... That's a good question. I think, I'm nicer, to put it simply. I am more polite to people. Like in Japan, people are so bloody polite, and you feel like you have to join in. You don't want to be that dickhead foreigner who turns up and breaks all the rules. Like, I think a lot of foreigners come to Japan, they think, I'm going to rock the boat, I'm going to change things around here. And then you pretty much fall into line over the first 2 years until you become polite. But it's a difficult thing to explain. But when you learn the Japanese language, you're learning the Japanese mindset. And when you think in a Japanese mindset, what goes along with that is the sort of behavioral patterns and things. And it has made me a nicer person, but usually only when I speak Japanese. When I'm speaking English, I'm still a dickhead. only when I switch to Japanese, right, that's when I become nice. That's why I don't do it in my
Jekyll
videos.
Jekyll and Hyde kind of scenario.
That's sweet.
Yeah, Jekyll and Hyde, pretty much. Yeah, actually, a lot of my friends, depending on what language they're speaking, if they speak Japanese, they switch. They become way nicer and more polite. And then when they switch to English, they could be more outspoken. I feel like in Japan, you are more reserved on your opinions. You're not the sort of... It's the complete opposite to like the UK and America, right? Where you sort of walk into a room and you're like, listen, motherfuckers, this is my opinion. This is how it is. And accept that. In Japan, you would never do that. You just sort of nod along and keep your opinions to yourself.
So is it a limitation of the Japanese... language? Like, is it just how the Japanese language is designed, or is it something deeper than that?
It's just the way the culture is. It's all about harmony and being a team player and a collectivism. So, yeah, you just sort of fall into line, really. And you don't want to rock the boat. And, yeah, it's been weird kind of embracing that personality, that sort of new character. Like, when you come to Japan, you have to almost build a new character because it's really hard to just be yourself and switch to another language. You have to sort of build your whole character around it.
Sounds almost kind of scary, to be honest. It sounds like you've completely turned into a different person.
A better person.
Jekyll and Hyde.
No, yeah. A better person. Conformism is fucking strong there, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, right. And I mean, if I had a kid, which isn't going to happen, I don't think I want kids, but in the event that I did, I would probably struggle to raise them in Japan for that reason. Like, Japan raises kids to be part of Japanese society, but it doesn't raise them in a way to adapt to the world, right? I feel like someone raised in Japan would have a hard time leaving Japan and adapting to the world.
So is that English you talking? I don't want a kid, but Japanese you is like, yes, I will have a child. Yes, yeah. Of course.
I just don't want children. I was a teacher when I first moved here for 3 years, and that cemented my position on not wanting children.
That'll do it,
right? Being a teacher for 3 years.
But those are other people's kids. Yours will be different.
Yyeah, his will be cool.
It'll be better.
Yyeah, they'll be a skateboard and stuff.
Yeah, they'll smoke ccigarettes and everything.
Yeah.
Yours will be with you 24/7, unlike other people's kids. That'll be so much better.
I think if you raised a kid who lived in Japan and the UK, they would grow up to be like a super child, because they'd have the sort of confidence and adventurous spirit of a British person. Is that, I don't know if that's what British people are actually like. Maybe I've made that up, but
or
have that sort of confidence.
Or they'd be really
twattish,
shy and rude. Either way.
They could be, yeah. But they've got their sort of that confidence of a British person mixed with the humbleness of a Japanese person. You could have like a super child. So could work. Maybe I should reevaluate my strategy.
Yeah, have as many children
cunt,
as you can.
Oi, might, and then you beat him with a ruler if he fails his math exam.
how true is
the whole Japanese youth don't fuck and the birth rate is declining? How true is all that stuff?
How true are the stats of the birth rate declining? Can you confirm?
How true are the certifiable figures?
When was the last time you went to a maternity ward, chris?
Have you ever seen a Japanese baby, Chris? Japanese people don't date, they just work. They work themselves to death. None of them ever date or, you know, just have fun or romance or love. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean,
is it just a myth?
No, it's pretty true. The work culture is brutal. Like, all of my Japanese friends have the most hardcore lifestyles. There isn't like a line between work and pleasure in Japan. It's just work, and that is all you do. And that is
that
why
sucks.
I'm very lucky to do this as a YouTuber, right? And sit in my bedroom and make videos, because I think it'd be difficult to work in a Japanese company. And I know a lot of people that do it, and it is tough. Like, you have to do overtime. You often don't get paid for it. And you become like a real part of the company. Like, in the West, when you work for McDonald's, you're just working for McDonald's, right? But if you work for McDonald's in Japan, you become like a part of the company and an extension of the company. And it's a hard thing to explain, but
But do you get the benefits from becoming part of McDonald's? Like, do you get McDonald's stuck with something? Like, what
are the benefits of becoming part of McDonald's?
I don't know. You know.
50% off chicken McNuggets.
Yeah, you get spicy nuggets once a week.
I mean, that is a pretty good benefit. It's tough. Like, so people have a pretty hardcore work life, have a pretty hardcore work and work culture. So, yeah, people aren't having kids because it's just so bloody stressful. They don't have the disposable income, and it's a real problem. So, yeah, the country's got to sort it out. We need to import more foreigners to raise the population.
Well, it sounds like they did. They got you in there. You don't want kids either anymore. That you can't win over there.
I'm part of the fucking problem.
You go there,
aren't
you?
I
don't want kids.
Part of the problem. Well, I might become. But yeah, it's a problem. The population at the moment, I think it's shrinking. When I arrived, it was 128 million in 2012, and now it's 125 million, and it's forecast to drop below 100 million by, I think, 2050.
Oh, wow.
Which is a pretty big decline.
That's not too bad, though. That's only 3 million people.
Yeah.
3 million.
It's kind of bad.
Yeah, did you do the math?
Well, no. What it's at now compared to where we got.
Allegedly, it seems they're going to lose like a fifth of their population.
Yeah.
Who's going to pay the pensions there? And that's a real problem. And So, the country's got some serious issues. I don't know what they're going to do. Build some robots. Fuck knows, but that'll sort it out.
Some fuck robots to inseminate. Oh, right.
That always comes up, doesn't it? That they're going to make like a robot and it's going to solve the situation. I've seen Asimo the robot and it can kick a ball and that is about it. I don't think Asimo or robots are going to save Japan's population. Only sex will do that.
American robots are winning out on them now. We've got fucking Boston Dynamics and shit. They can't touch us.
They're in trouble.
They can dance. But like what?
They can't be able to seduce women. Politicians doing. Do you guys get stimulus checks for having sex or anything? What are they doing to solve this?
Yeah, what is the solution, really?
I don't know. It's not my field of expertise. I think they do pay people. Like, they give out money for people to have kids and stuff.
That's very nice of them. But it would have to be a whole lot of money to be worth it, because raising a kid takes money.
Yeah.
So you're not really making money.
I mean, for a country that has so many love hotels, you think they'd be able to sort the situation out pretty effectively. But from my experience, the only reason people go to love hotels is to cheat on their husbands and wives, respectively. So I don't think love hotels are going to save the day then? Either.
Whoa!
Shot myself in the foot.
Any scandalous stories you want to tell us?
God, no, I'm not going to dig myself a hole. I'm not going down that road. 11:30 in the evening, digging myself a hole, sitting in a room drinking coffee.
Okay. I guess my question is, why are the Japanese not ashamed of sake, and why do they export it?
You don't
why
like
do they
sake?
Export it?
What?
Yeah, it sounds like sake Kai doesn't sucks. Like sake.
Oh, he just, he doesn't like
it's
sake,
horrible.
I guess.
You're
it's
not a fan of sake.
Inducing. No, how man. Dare you. It's like vodka, but it doesn't have the bite, and I don't know why, but it makes me sick. It's too smooth, which is a weird thing to say about alcohol, but...
They only export the crap sake, though. Like, the good stuff, they keep it here. They don't want to hand that out. They don't want to send the good stuff overseas. You're getting, like, the paint stripper shit sent over where you are. I'll agree, like, sake can be a bit hit or miss, but... I did just spend the last day in a sake brewery, like yesterday, and I must admit it was some pretty good shit. It's like vodka that's delicate and refined. I don't know. When you drink sake, you feel sophisticated, even though you don't have a right to be sophisticated or feel sophisticated, but you feel it. And sake's good. It's good. Just got to get the right one. Got to get the good shit.
Yeah, you got to try it.
I'll recommend
you some brands.
Okay, I'm down for that. If you can recommend me some brands, because I guess the ones I had always just felt like I was drinking oil. Like,
don't drink
gross.
The one cup sake you get at like 7-Eleven, where it's like 100 yen, and it's like a little glass cup of sake that tastes like crap. But you have to have it. As a tourist coming to Japan, first time, you have to drink one cup sake at least once. God forbid.
I really want to go to Japan.
There's so many fucking question. Things we have Wait, to do.
Andrew, do you want to talk about honey first?
I do. I do. Sake is nice. It's great. Probably, sure. Yeah, tasty, whatever. But we, in America, have this amazing product called honey.
Mm.
And a lot of you out there are thinking, well, I've had honey. It's a delicious, sugary snack. No, not that honey. I'm talking about the honey that helps you save money while shopping online. It's a free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it can find directly to your cart. When you're at checkout at tons of different shopping websites, Honey will have a little button that drops down and all you have to do is click apply coupons. Wait a few seconds while as Honey searches for coupons it can find for that site. And if it finds a working coupon, your price on your cart will drop. Boys, I purchased guitar strings recently. I play guitar,
ooh,
as
so you
all
admit
know.
It.
I did. I used
you
honey.
Sick fuck.
I'm sorry. I can't keep the secret any longer. I sleep soundly. In fact, I'm a disgusting monster because I go to bed and I go, I'm so comfy
save
with all
money.
All this money I save. Oh, I'm going to fall asleep, not have a nightmare, sleep soundly, not wake up. I'm just confident and ready for tomorrow. And I saved money on those guitar strings. And you can save money on tons of things because Honey has over 17 million members and over $2 billion in savings. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It is literally free and installs in a few seconds. By getting it, you are helping the podcast and helping yourself save money. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/official. That's joinhoney.com/official. Maybe some sake will have Honey offers. You have no idea until you try it. joinhoney.com/official. It's free.
There's a whole world of savings out there for you if you use Honey.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So speaking of honey and sake and all those other things, Chris, what are some unusual foods there in Japan that you've tried, and specifically ones you didn't think you would like?
Have you heard of sushi?
Yeah. Sashimi. Now we're getting wild.
I must say, going back to the honey ad you just read out, I don't use honey, but now I want to. That is how good that ad reading was.
Thank
I want
you.
To get,
thank
I want
you.
To get a piece of the action.
Thank you.
I'm always late to these things.
Many years of practice under my belt. Thank you.
I still never bought any shares in the last week on GameStop, so I'm kind of late to everything. And
maybe they have a honey coupon code for them.
Yeah, maybe. Speaking of which, though, before you get to the wacky foods, has anyone here gotten into stocks as a result of everything recently?
Yeah. Yes.
Me and Kaya have been.
I have as well.
I bought AMC stock for the first time in my life.
Me too.
So did I.
And then it immediately tanked for me. like my act of buying AMC stocks completely tanked it. And so I
feel very late to the party on it. And it's too late to buy now, right?
It's never too late.
I don't know.
There's plenty of time.
You can buy high. There's no problem with that.
Yeah. You just got to remember to sell low.
Do not take us as a financial advice disclaimer.
No, we know what we're doing.
Yeah. We Googled what's going on. We read the Reddit mega thread.
Yeah. I've
seen
that.
Yeah. Reddit told me to buy.
I think it's still possible to make money off GME at the moment, just not obviously as much.
Yeah, like a couple dollars.
Yeah, not that's all not nearly as much as you would have been able to when they bought it for like $3.
I just feel left out not having any shares, so that's the reason. Well, I just want to get in
with
the crowd.
So this was the very first meme stock that I've ever bought. I have other stocks that actually do earn me money, but if you really want to be part of this... Yeah, that's what they call it now. Meme stocks, viral stocks.
Wow.
But if you want to be part of it, you should buy like one share. If you can afford to lose $300, and you are going to lose it. But if you just want to be part of telling Wall Street to go fuck itself, it's kind of worth the price of admission, because this is like an old school 4chan style raid. It felt like it was very fun on, I don't know if it was Wednesday or Thursday. It's gotten kind of old now. I'm kind of bored of it. But Wednesday, I had a lot of fun just watching the markets, watching all of the Wall Street, every politician who has ever existed shuffling to fucking guns guard for Wall Street and try to protect them. All the corporations, Robin Hood fucking stepping in, banning people from buying the stock.
Oh, God.
It was interesting.
Do you guys remember the Occupy Wall Street protests?
This
was like 1,000 times more effective than that.
This is actually doing something.
Yeah, this is actually removing money from those hedge funds.
Yeah.
$70 billion they stand to lose.
Yep.
Jesus Christ. $70 billion.
Troll Reddit capitalists have done more to redistribute wealth than every communist who's ever existed.
It's fucking awesome.
It's just all for the sake of a joke. And via GameStop, like the shittiest fucking little store that's ever existed.
It's beautiful. Yeah. You couldn't make it up. Like, if you had told this story to someone a year ago, they would have been like, fuck off. You're lying. This is not going to happen.
Yeah. I was going to buy GameStop shares last year.
Like, if you told me that...
They were in the news for going down. I regret it.
The president of the United States is personally going to step in because of GameStop. Because GameStop is too successful.
We have to ban GameStop.
Beautiful.
Their power knows no limit.
That is amazing.
But it's been an interesting week on that front.
Yeah, it's been
it's
pretty
a shame
wild.
That we didn't get in there
it's
earlier.
It's been fucking extreme. Yeah.
When will it end? Yeah. How long will it go on for, do you think?
It'll never stop. The billionaire's money is ours now.
Yeah, what are we going to do with it all?
It'll stop being a fad in a couple weeks, but it'll continue for the people that are actually in it forever.
In my experience, Chris, it'll stop as soon as you buy a share, and then it'll tank. So if you really want to put it into it, go ahead and buy.
Also trade. I'll be very tempted.
I mean, investing this way is just gambling when you think about
it's
it.
It's fun.
It's fun and it's interesting as shit, but don't ever put money into it that you wouldn't want to lose.
No, it's like, right. So there's so many people are going to be heartbroken, man, in like a week or two. I suspect.
I know.
Because you go on Reddit. Hey, look, credit where credit is due. This is literally the first time ever that Reddit has been fun. Or at least one subreddit has been fun. So kudos to Wall Street Bros or Wall Street Bets, whatever their name is. But you see so many posts on there going, I put all my life savings into GME today. I bought at $350. I'm in, boys. Let's go to the moon. Like, dude, you're really gambling. Like, you put your fucking parents' mortgage in this or something. You're fucked.
Yeah, I knew there likely wasn't going to be like as much money left in it when everyone started talking about it. Like when my parents knew about it, that's when I knew that it had reached like mass, you know, like everyone just knew about it. So there's not much potential left. It was the same with Bitcoin. Once everyone knows about Bitcoin, like the limit's kind of tapped, I think.
There's going to be a few lucky guys who got in on it early who are going to be millionaires out of this, and a whole lot of heartbroken people who try to emulate those people. We're going to end up with $0 in their bank accounts.
I know you can still make money off Bitcoin, but not the same amount of money that you were making.
Bitcoin is a little different, though, because Bitcoin's completely decentralized. So you have like other firms investing in it. I mean, people buy literally hundreds of millions of dollars of Bitcoin like every week.
Yeah.
So a little different than stocks, especially in a failing company.
But, GameStop is not a failing company. Just wait for them to roll.
You're right. Funko Pop Distributors Incorporated. Sorry.
Yeah, baby. But,
oh, God. But the people who are looking to do this for long-term investments are the ones who are really going to get fucked. The ones that are like, yeah, baby, it's going to take off and stay there forever. It's like, I don't think that's going to happen.
I think it will.
Get your money and get out is my advice as a non-financial advisor.
Do you think the GameStop CEOs are just absolutely bewildered? Like they forgot about their business.
I think
like
he's scared. I was thinking about that. That's got to be awkward as hell, man, because I absolutely believe in like closed doors, you know, a smoky room filled with shady men making decisions to rule the world. There's no way they didn't yank the GameStop CEO's leash, call him in like, what the fuck are you doing? What is going on here? You're losing us money. Stop this. Yeah. And he doesn't know how.
Under control.
Because it's not up to him.
He's making burner accounts on Reddit trying to say stop buying stock. That's all he can do. That's a shame.
Anyway,
isn't the GameStop CEO Reggie from Nintendo?
What?
Isn't he up there now? Well, I thought he got
conspiracy shit are you reading?
Is that not true?
Yeah, what? Reggie?
I thought he went to GameStop.
No, what?
Or maybe he was at GameStop before he was at Nintendo. I can't remember.
No, I don't think he's ever been associated with GameStop ever. He's always been with
Nintendo. He's on the board of directors, apparently, someone in chat is saying. So he is associated with them.
He is in danger of an assassination, is what he is.
He's like, I wish Nintendo. I was still at Nintendo.
The CEO is George Sherman. Never heard of him.
Yeah, that's Reggie.
It's an alias.
His business name
by George these days.
Yeah, it's
Wall Street hired all those assassins.
He invested in.
Honestly,
a new
I would
name.
Not be surprised.
It's Reggie
if
with
they
a,
fucking hired
fake
John Wick.
I just feel depressed that I'm late to all of these things: Bitcoin, GameStop, Tesla, Amazon, all the bloody stock prices going up like rockets, and I've got nothing.
Well, do you actively search for new situations or new potential? Because I mean, I don't. I admit that I don't. So, but I still get
disappointed. But what you have to keep in mind: we all feel depressed about you know, there's the fear of missing out. I missed out. Damn it. I could have been a Tesla millionaire or whatever. But you always have to keep in mind, there's going to be more and more and more chances, more and more stuff like this. But that it's, you know, it still stings when you look at that guy, the deep fucking value guy. He's bragging about how he made $47 million on Reddit. And you're like, yeah, stick it to the Wall Street guys. Also, I hope you get a brain tumor, you fucking goddammit.
There's always... There's always going to be another big investment. You can't ever stick to the hangups. You always got to move on and look for the next big thing.
No, it's impossible to move on.
It's never going to happen again. No one's ever going to make money after this day.
It's the last time money will be available.
I wouldn't be surprised if Wall Street suddenly decided to like lobby the government to ban money or something, to ban the poor people from buying anything.
God, the fucking response is amazing.
These people sipping for... The response is insane. And then you have these politicians on Twitter and everybody's simping for them. Like, oh, yeah, you're going to get this done. Yeah, go after Wall Street. They're owned by Wall Street. If they're going to regulate anything, they're going to regulate it in Wall Street's favor. They're just going to fuck you more. What are you talking about? Now they're talking about taxing your earnings even more. That's what you get. You fucked with the man. You fucked with the system.
Literal,
they win. The house always wins.
Literal fucking stockbrokers going on CNN and other news networks and actually crying and saying we need to halt trading because this is devastating. When it's God, it's just so.
Is it super like talked about over in Japan?
Nope, nobody knows anything about it here. That's the thing, right? In Japan, you're left that's out. Well, the country's like a bubble, so things go on like that. You just don't know unless you go on Reddit, which I do occasionally.
What's the current big news topic in Japan? What are you seeing and hearing everywhere?
I mean, it's usually something really boring politically. It's nothing ever juicy. There was a woman who got caught by the police yesterday with her mum found in a freezer. Like her mum's frozen corpse had been in her freezer for 10 years.
Oh, you said juicy? Come on.
I suppose it's juicy, but it's not as juicy as GameStop, is it? Give me GameStop.
You can't make money off her corpse.
The corpse of a frozen grandmother. And also, we had a story the other week of a taxi driver who got mugged off by someone. A taxi driver in Tokyo drove 500 kilometres at 4 a.m. because a customer got in the cab and they said, take me to Tottori. And Tottori is like this place about 6 or 7 hours away in South Japan. And he was like, are you sure? And she was like, yeah. So he drove for 5 hours, like 500 kilometers down to South Japan. They got there and he said, well, that'll be 200,000 yen, about $2,000. And she said, I'm not paying. And he was like, what? That's the story. And then she got handed over to the police. What the fuck? What a dedicated taxi driver. I felt so bad for him. Like a Japanese taxi driver.
Yeah, I mean,
get money
up front. But shouldn't you take payments before in a situation like that? Like, you're going to pay up front if I'm going to drive you across the Atlantic.
To be fair, he did add it. Yeah, he kind of shot himself in the foot there, didn't he? If you're going to drive for 5 hours, probably take a down payment.
Or make it sound like a contract or something at that point, an invoice.
So those are the stories of the week in Japan. The world's greatest taxi driver that got mugged off by some stupid woman. And
How awkward do you think the conversation in the taxi was for 10 years? For like,
lovely, isn't it?
For like 7 hours, it would have been such an awkward conversation between them if she knew that she was just going to rip him off.
I don't think she planned on it. I don't know her personally, but something tells me it was like a spur-of-the-moment thing.
We've all been there.
Yeah,
spur-of-the-moment.
Yeah, I feel like she was like, oh, I need to get here, but now I can't pay. So she didn't.
And curiously, the place she went to in Tottori is the only place in Japan where they've got these massive sand dunes. It's called the Tottori sand dunes. They look like a desert. And I want to know why she was like wanted to go there. Like, why to the sand dunes? Japan's only kind of like little desert. Why does she want to go there at 4 o'clock in the morning? Legend has it she might have been quite drunk and just stumbled out of a bar, got into a taxi, and was like, "Let's go to Tottori." And the driver was like,
"5
yeah,
hours
okay.
is enough to sober
yeah,
up."
She would have been sober by the time she got there with her.
Do you reckon? Yeah, that's like, she's like, "Oh it. Fuck, what have I done? Why have I told the driver to go? I'll just go along with it."
Act like you meant this.
this was all planned. Yeah.
Well, wait. If she was super drunk or something, maybe she passed out in the taxi and she just forgot, and then she woke up at Tottori and then had to pay $2,000. Oh, yen. Oh, yeah. No.
All I know is, it would make a solid premise for a film. There's a film waiting to be made there, and I want to make it.
That is very interesting.
But it's not that super. I think this is called The Hangover.
Pretty much. Oh, what a mug.
Yeah, that's not very spicy. Patricide and a woman who drove a cab.
Are you kidding me? I think they're all juicy.
Bring back video game and movie theater stock. Come on.
Yeah. I think the freezer death is pretty wild. That's pretty insane. Told her mum and stored it in a freezer for 10 years.
It's quite a common thing for people to put their dead parents in a freezer or just leave them in a room for 10 years in the attic or something.
She didn't kill them?
She didn't kill her mum. She just died. Rather than declare
boring.
Her dead.
Oh,
she stuffed
that's
her
a crime. That's so much more boring.
Jeez.
And the reason
why is
they
that
do
a
it
crime?
Is so. I don't know if it is it technically a crime. I think there was a case like this that happened a few years ago when the person that put their parent in the fridge or freezer was getting their pension payment. They wanted to get their pension come through. And I think in this case, this
that
week,
makes sense.
She did it because she was worried she was going to get thrown out of the apartment because the apartment had a clause in it that her mum had the contract. How ridiculous is that?
So her keeping her in the freezer was part of this whole scandal and plot then?
Exactly, to keep the apartment. I think it might have just been easier to just declare her mum dead and get a new apartment, but she must have been a fucking good apartment.
That's 80% as interesting as Nokia stock rising in price.
At least it's more competitive, yeah.
And speaking of,
I don't know.
Speaking of competitive, if you want to get competitive online, you might do some shady back alley deals. And if you're going to start doing those things, well, there's a way to hide your connection. Give yourself some privacy.
VPN.
What?
Putting a layer of protection between yourself and tech juggernauts. That's why we would all use ExpressVPN. Mm. Think about how much of your life goes on the internet. You wouldn't even know that GameStop was trending if you didn't look at the internet. You probably can't even listen to this podcast without the internet unless you personally reconstruct the audio file from all of the ones and zeros on your own computer. What, are you going to re-record all of our voices yourself like some sort of one-man puppet show? That's insane. Just use the internet, you moron.
That is insane.
Exactly. Mm. That's why, voice crack, you can use ExpressVPN.
Use an ExpressVPN to avoid that.
The air is very dry today. That's why you can use ExpressVPN to grab our podcast or look at GameStop and other stock or do whatever you want on the internet without slowing down your connection and providing yourself with a layer of protection. ExpressVPN is the number one rated VPN by CNET and Wired, and it is so easy to use. You just download the app to your phone or computer, tap the button, and you are protected. You can stop handing your personal data over to big tech monopolies that mine your activity and sell your information by protecting yourself with the VPN that we all trust. I won't name names, but one of your four handsome hosts here lives in an area where he almost relies on a VPN. And I know that ExpressVPN is the one that he trusts. You can visit expressvpn.com/official. That's ExpressVPN.com/official to get an extra 3 months for free. Go to Express. It's that dry mountain air, I'm telling you. ExpressVPN.com/official right now. Learn more. Get 3 months absolutely for free. And also change your region and watch more shit on Netflix. There's a lot of things to do with a VPN.
Mm-hmm. It really opens the internet up for you.
It really does. It lets you learn about what's happening in Japan. Because, boy, let me tell you, that freezer story. Never would have heard of it.
Yeah, I also wouldn't have heard of it.
I actually got ExpressVPN just last week, so I feel pretty smug now. I feel very clever because I missed out on Honey, but I've got the second sponsor commercial product. Awesome. I hope I've got the next one, whatever it may be, coming up.
We'll find out. It's a secret.
We'll find out in 15 minutes.
It's a secret. Can't wait.
No offense, but that story doesn't really blow the loafers off my feet. I don't know. I mean, compared to someone like Jeffrey Dahmer, who did the exact same thing, except it was meant that he killed.
I got
and
a story
he drilled holes
him.
In their
I
brain to create zombies. Okay.
We've got a guy called the Twitter Killer. Have you heard about this guy, the Twitter Killer?
No. That sounds like some Death Note shit.
There we go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I like it. I like the premise.
There's this guy, and yeah, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. We'll just call him Twitter Killer, because that's what he's nicknamed. Basically, he was recently sentenced to death for murdering, I think, 8 people. I think 8 Ooh. Girls, 1 guy. And what he would do, he Decent would look score. For people on Twitter who wanted to kill themselves, who were suicidal. Like, he would prowl for people online on Twitter who were suicidal. And then he would message them and sort of say, look, you know, you want to kill yourself, maybe I can help you do it. And then he'd invite them round to their, like, invite them round to his apartment, and then he would kill them. He'd, like, smother them and just kill them.
He's a man of his word.
He's a man of his word. But he was sentenced to death because they say that, I think he said that when they came round, they didn't actually want to die. And there was a kind of like a bit of debate over, was it ethically wrong to kill these people? Did they actually want to commit suicide? But weirdly, the guy himself admitted that when they came to his apartment, they didn't actually want to die. So he basically admitted to being guilty to actually murdering them.
Well, you know, shit. When you invite some 20-something-year-old, like, just emo posting on Twitter, oh, I want to die, my life sucks, and then you actually start choking them, smothering them, they fight back, I assume. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, what Chris is saying is, why would he admit that, though?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, why would he
really help his case?
He actually kind of set himself up to go, like, I think he went against his own defense team. His defense team sort of tried to plead insanity or something, but he sort of said, no, I'm guilty, I did it all,
I'm not insane.
So yeah, he said he's death now, death by hanging for being this Twitter killer.
They fucking hung him.
They're going to.
Oh my god,
it's pretty brutal in Japan.
That's
in Japan,
brutal,
they don't tell you when they're going to kill you, when they're going to actually do it. So you could be sitting in a jail cell for years at a time, and then one morning they'll literally walk in and be like, right, it's time to die now.
Yeah.
And so you have that.
That leads into a question I really wanted to make sure to ask you. So from what I've seen and what I've read and everything that we've talked about on the podcast, the Japanese legal system is fucking terrifying. And especially if you're a foreigner, because they just don't give a shit. They will fuck you over immensely. They can hold you in jail for what, like 3 weeks without any reason at all? And that's just totally legal.
Yeah.
So
guilty to
how?
Be, yeah, guilty. Before
how,
being proven innocent.
Realistically afraid of that kind of stuff are you? Or how much do you need to be kind of aware to prevent things from happening?
Wait, that's actually
a good question.
True,
yeah, I remember when I first found out about it in my first year, I was like, wait a minute, what? Because, you know, Japan's the perfect country, no crime, everything's magical, the trains are on time, but by the way, you can be proven, like, you could be guilty before you're proven innocent, right? You could be sort of dragged off and taken to a cell and left there.
After all.
Yeah. And the way this came up, like, 2 years ago.
Why do you think it is perfect?
It's not perfect now, is it? But, like, the one of the most successful foreign CEOs living in Japan, Carlos Ghosn, I don't know if you heard of him, he was the CEO, like, the chairman of Nissan, and he was this untouchable foreign businessman, this incredible, impeachable, like, figure who couldn't be touched. And then one day, yeah, they arrested him on some rather dubious charges and put him in a jail cell for a year. And every time they let him out, it's his sort of time ran out and he was able to go free. They arrested him literally on the steps of the prison to come back in once again.
It's like a bad joke. Like,
and then, you're free. Yeah. You can go now. See you later. Oh, bye. And then, yeah, there's police waiting on the stairs of the jail, waiting to take him back in on another charge. In the end, he smuggled himself out of the country in like a cello case. And it was a rather big scandal 2 years ago. He got in a cello case and managed to smuggle himself out of Japan. Which pissed off a lot of people.
That's like some Looney Tunes shit.
That really is.
I know, right?
Do you think that, like, as he's walking out of the jail cell for the seventh time, he just shrugs and he's like, all right, guys, you got me again. Let's go back.
Yeah, see?
I don't know if that's a legal system, though, because as someone who knows a thing or two about oppressive governments, that sounds political. Like, somebody in the government wanted to make an example out of this guy for some reason.
Yeah, he wanted to do some sort of merger between Nissan and Renault, the French company, and apparently his Japanese colleagues at Nissan were like, fuck off, let's get him done, and so they stitched him up a bit. It's all quite an interesting political bit of intrigue there, but it did shine a pretty big light on Japan's rather sketchy legal system, and a lot of foreigners supported him when he fled from justice in a cello case. A lot of people were cheering him on. Wow, I was just amused that this guy worth like $500 million was escaping Japan in a cello case in the back of a plane. That's ridiculous. I still can't believe it happened.
Before I forget to ask, I just want to immediately get this going before it completely escapes my mind. Arcades, are they as cool as like TV and shit makes them look? Are the arcades fucking awesome?
Oh yeah, they're fucking amazing. They're amazing. Yeah, you can play anything.
That makes
you
me
got
so
a train
happy
simulator, an entire train carriage where you can sit in it and pretend you're driving a train. Oh, there are better games than that.
Really?
But
wow.
Yeah, it's got everything. Dance mats. My favorite one's a drum kit where you like play with the drums and stuff. But Mario Kart, you got that as well. Yeah, they're well cool. Fucking awesome.
That makes me so happy to hear. So it's not overhyped?
It's not overhyped, I can assure you. That is one of the few things that is true about Japan. That is not a myth. The games arcades are fucking amazing.
What does that make you happy, Charlie? You're never going to be there. You don't want to join us
you
in a little
group
trip.
You don't know that, Kaya. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I could go any day.
Like to hear.
If you guys come to Japan, what is the one thing you want to do when you come here?
Arcade.
Each of you. What is like top of your list?
Five-story arcade sounds like a great start.
Five-story arcade.
Don't they have arcades in downtown that are like five stories tall, just floor-to-floor games?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and
I think that's an easy start.
There's a really cool retro one. There's a really cool retro one in Tokyo that's just got arcades from like the 80s, all sorts of games that were before my time. It's like going back kind of to the 1980s. It's so cool. But yeah, no, they're really good. They match the hype.
I'm not all too like massively interested. Well, I still am, but there's other aspects of Japan that are more exciting to me than Tokyo. Like, I think I would want to travel around the like the less traveled areas. I don't know, I just want to see the sights.
How poetic.
I want to do that too. I agree.
Mine's gonna sound really gay and boring, but I guess I just want to have that, like, I want to nap under a cherry blossom tree in one of those idyllic scenes you see in
you
all the promotional
in an anime,
posters.
I've still like, never
look,
done that.
It looks so beautiful.
Why haven't I done that in 8 years? I've got to nap beneath a cherry blossom tree. Of all the things I've done, I've climbed Mount Fuji, I've cycled across the entire country for 2 months, but I've never napped beneath the cherry blossom tree.
When we all come to Japan, you can join us, Chris.
Yeah,
you can
sleep with a special occasion. Yeah, you're welcome to join us in the country
we'll
you live, Chris.
Absolutely. I will gladly show you around. Show you the love hotels, the hostess bars.
Please.
It'll be yours.
That'd be amazing.
Oh, wait. You're going to go to the love hotel with us? It's going to look weird. Five men.
I think Jackson
one
and
room,
I
take please.
Your finest love hotel.
I think Jackson and I, when we were like actually seriously talking about this, considered staying for about a month. So having someone
I want to stay longer now.
Yeah. Having someone there who's like really in the shit and also speaks English would help us out immensely. So you're more than welcome to tag along for our adventures.
We'd have to go to some of the themed love hotels. Like, they have some really cool themed ones. Like, one of them is like Jurassic Park themed.
No!
Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, no.
Why did you say
that?
You've hit my G spot even before I've traveled.
What have you done? You've ruined this episode.
Is there a Mad Max or John Wick themed
love hotel? Is there a Star Wars themed one?
Can I dress up as a dinosaur?
You could dress up as a dinosaur, go to town. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be everything you want it to be. There's actually a really cool $1 hotel that opened up in Fukuoka, a city in the south. And they only charge you $1 a night. But why is that, do you think? What do you have to do?
You have to buy food that's worth like $30 each.
You have to clean up the cum.
With your tongue, is that it? Do you become the prostitute?
Do you become the prostitute? Well, actually, kind of. Yeah, I guess you do to some extent. So to stay at this hotel for a dollar for one night, you have to agree to have your entire stay live streamed to their YouTube channel.
That's fucking awesome.
Goes on the channel, and people can watch you.
Holy shit!
It's basically being a Twitch streamer.
Pay a dollar, get famous. I'm fine with that.
wait, but. Did you say YouTube as a joke, or is it some porn sites? Because how would you stream sex on YouTube?
You just stay in the hotel. You don't have to have sex. You don't have to do anything crazy.
Yeah, but if you do have sex, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you could.
What do they do?
If you wanted to, go for it. But yeah, the concept is that this hotel wanted to make money by streaming people staying the night and monetize it through ads and stuff. Whether it's worked or not remains to be seen. But the $1 hotel, it's certainly a great PR stunt.
It's just a normal hotel. It's not a love
hotel. It's a normal hotel. You just, when you're in your room, sleeping and doing shit, people have to watch you. Bit weird, isn't it?
Are people actually watching that? That sounds, I mean, it sounds interesting, but I couldn't imagine actually.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely. Of course they are.
One of the first,
you're just watching people sleep, though.
One of the first live streams that ever took off in the history of it was a guy streaming his dad sleeping. And people would pay to see it. I think it was in Japan, actually.
Of course it was. Yeah. Of course it was.
It was one of the very first ones that got really popular when live streaming was a new concept. And it was a dude who literally, I think it was called Pay a Dollar to Watch My Dad Sleep. And he would, every night he would stream his dad sleeping and charge people a dollar to watch it.
So here's the catch with the hotel. The good news, somebody posted the article in our chat. The good news is that there is no nudity allowed and neither is any sexual activity or what the website refers to as
nude. You have to wear a bathing suit in the shower of the hotel. Like, yeah, this got lame. They should have just let you live. They shouldn't even tell you.
That's quite a big problem in South Korea.
Fuck yeah.
People leaving cameras up, innit?
Yeah, but that's, I'm always concerned about, like, cameras being put in hotel rooms, like in the air vents and such. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess at least they're open about it. That's nice. Yeah.
Well, also you get a pretty hefty discount. A dollar a night's not bad.
How would you feel about staying in a capsule hotel?
Those are scary.
Those are scary.
I'd be fine with trying it, but I would prefer other.
Are those? Hang on. Describe what it is, though. Is that the ones where you have to sleep in a tiny pod?
Yeah.
Yeah, effectively, yeah. It's like a little coffin.
Yeah, no.
If that sounds good. A coffin with a TV. What more could you possibly
maybe
want?
Maybe for $10,000, if you pay me that, because otherwise I'm very claustrophobic. I don't like that at all.
Right,
I
would not. Don't stay in a capsule hotel. You'll wake up and have a panic attack and smash your head on the ceiling. I did have a nightmare
plus the
once.
Plus privacy and stuff, right?
While staying like in one, I just woke up and smashed my head on the ceiling and vowed never to stay in one again. They're pretty good. In terms of privacy, you get a little curtain. You can pull that across, though, so people can't see in. But it does get very hot and stuffy, and it's not fun.
Can you hear people? Like, can you hear people in the capsules next to you?
Yeah, you can. And that is why I don't stay there anymore. Because I remember I stayed at one and, like, people just coming in at, like, 2 a.m. drunk. I stayed at one in a very touristy area in Tokyo. And I remember loads of British lads just turning up and being like, hey, just woke up everyone. Because it's like a dormitory, right? A dormitory filled with coffins, well-lit coffins with televisions.
I'm sure it's super popular.
I think it sounds great.
Super popular with, like, backpackers and tourists and such. And they'd always be drunk pretty much. So it'd be loud, so, I would imagine.
What do you think what's the one thing every tourist should avoid if we ever do come to Japan? What's like something that everybody would tell
you? Going to jail in Japan, I think, would be terrible.
Getting arrested.
Don't go to jail.
I mean, like, what's something that they would promote and try to sell you, but that you shouldn't go for? Not, obviously, don't commit crimes in Japan.
So, like,
that probably will
what's
not play
overrated?
That's a good bloody question. And I think it's just touristy areas, to be honest. I mean, I don't think you're going to end up in jail, like you said. I think Charlie said, don't go to jail. I'm still amazed that Logan Paul, during his time in Japan, left the country relatively unscathed and if he could get away with the stuff he got away with and not end up in prison, I don't think anybody can go to prison in Japan, to be honest. Throwing Pokemon balls at a police officer and getting away with it, that's a pretty impressive act.
That is pretty fucking brave.
Or filming
that reminds me, like, you guys have a whole suicide forest, right? And yet that's people still went to the Twitter killer to kill themselves. You don't need that guy. Cut out the middleman. Just hang yourself in a forest.
Well, that was still rather crazy. Because I've been to that forest, the Aokigahara Forest. And I remember when I watched his video, and I did watch it, God, for some stupid reason.
Did you leave a
I saw it. And I thought, oh, fuck. Because I'd made a video about a year or two before he went. And there was a line in his video that made me think he'd watched my video in preparation to go there. Because there was a quote, he said something that sounded very similar to something I'd said, which made me think he'd watched my video as research. And I thought, oh, shit, this is not good. I don't want to be a part of this. And it was a real bizarre situation. And him doing all that led to me going on Japanese TV and basically having to defend all YouTubers in the world ever.
He's like PR representative.
Well, like, you were the all the Japanese media, to be honest, they weren't as shocked and as outraged as a lot of us in the West were, right? We were all like, fucking Logan Paul, what a cunt kind of thing. But in Japan, they were like, oh, that's bad, isn't it? What a dickhead. But they weren't that kind of, I felt like it wasn't that badly received here, as badly as it was overseas. But they brought me onto Japanese TV, onto the biggest morning TV show. They literally came to my apartment and interviewed me, and they were like, what do you think of Logan Paul? And I was like, oh, he's a cunt, isn't he? But I couldn't say that on Japanese TV, unsurprisingly. So I sort of said, oh, he's really bad. What a nasty man. Oh, he's terrible. But most YouTubers aren't like that. We're not all cunts.
Very stinky boy. Sort of,
say that. Seriously, it was a weird situation.
You should have built him up as like the boogeyman of YouTube. Oh, like, yeah, you should have transcribed him into Japanese.
Yeah, exactly. Use him like one of the, what are they? I don't remember what they're called in Japanese lore, but like the Umbrella Girl and stuff like that.
The Umbrella Girl. Oh, right.
Yokai?
Yeah. Umbrella Girl.
Yokai. Thank you.
Yokai, like spirit figure. Yeah. Logan Paul.
I was going to say thank you for being a sane representation of Western people, but at the same time, you should have villainized him. Like, yeah, this is really all about me. He came here just to kill me. He failed, so you went to suicide forest.
Yeah, you could have made yourself look like some kind of crazy hero. Anime.
It was a weird time, because about a week before he did that and made a big fucking stir, I actually released a video called 12 Things Not to Do in Japan, a video I now hate, but a video that's gone on to become my biggest video with 15 million views. And as you can imagine, when that video, about a week later when he did all that, all the comments on the video were, yeah, don't be Logan Paul, don't be Logan Paul. And there's like 25,000 comments on that video, and 90% of them are like, yeah, point number one, don't be Logan Paul. But what he did actually led to a lot of traffic on that video. So I guess I have to thank him for leading to my most successful video, 12 Things Not to Do in Japan.
So Logan Paul doing that was only a good thing for you.
It sounds sinister and terrible, but yes.
So Chris advocates Logan Paul filming the suicide forest. It was only a good thing, only beneficial.
Chris was a producer on that episode of Logan Paul's vlogs.
He pointed him in the direction of the body. He saw it earlier that day on his walk.
You got all the attention and none of the hate.
It's all rather sinister, isn't it? But there you go. If you come to Japan, don't be Logan Paul. Don't throw Pokemon balls or film.
Don't be Logan Paul. I bet he doesn't even wear a movement watch.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fucking loser.
If he doesn't wear a movement watch, well, I don't know if I want to associate with that man, because movement watches and their blue light glasses and their jewelry and more are 20% off for their Valentine's Day sale. I mean, movement normally features fair prices, unexpected colors, and clean original designs, but now 20% off? What's a better gift to give to someone this Valentine's Day than something that they'll wear every day and could potentially remind them of you? Valentine's Day is right around the corner, after all, and Movement watches even have beautiful packaging, super sleek designs, and are long-lasting classic gifts that are better than flowers. Flowers die in a week? Yeah, okay, they smell neat, they look nice, whatever.
Fuck flowers.
It don't matter. Movement
watches...
What, are
you going to get your dad flowers?
Yeah.
What the hell? What,
wait, why are you getting your dad something for Valentine's Day?
Well, if you're Valentine...
Or your boyfriend. Like, just flowers, get the hell out of you.
If your Valentine happens to be your dad or someone who wears a watch, or maybe even someone who doesn't wear a watch, you can still get the Valentine's Day savings. We won't ask. If your Valentine happens to be someone, I don't know, maybe unconventional like Kaya, we won't ask. We won't judge you. It doesn't matter. You can get the Valentine's Day savings regardless if you use code VDAY20 at checkout. Code VDAY20 at checkout will help you out. But you're going, well, wait, where do I use that code? Where do I use that code to get maybe their amazing Everscroll blue light glasses or a watch that I don't have to pay $400 or $500 for at the department store? Well, you would use it at mvmt.com/official. That's mvmt.com/official with code VDAY20. For 20% off, including free shipping and free returns. You could even buy it for yourself. We won't tell nobody. It could be a big secret. Maybe you don't have a Valentine. That's fine. You'll get it in the future. Get the watch now, though, because it's 20% off. MVMT.com/official VDay20 for 20% off. Nice watches. I've got like two of them, maybe three, if I check one of my closets, and they are very, very nice.
Stylish and affordable.
Exactly.
I want one.
What do you think? Like, better than flowers. What is the single best thing about Japan? If you had to pick one thing about the entire region, what would you say is the absolute crowning jewel of Japan?
Fuck. That is a really big fucking... I'm so crap at answering these questions like this. What's the best thing? What's the worst thing? And I get asked it a lot. Fuck. Let me think about that one. Let me give me a minute.
Let me give you some direction if it'll help. What's the one thing you
let
think?
Let me tell you what you love in Japan.
Yeah. Here's a list of good things, Chris.
You like their wacky game shows.
Yeah. No, I mean, let me direct the question a bit to get your thinking going. What's the one thing that you think Japan is doing that everywhere else in the world should be doing?
Oh, I thought you were just going to ask my question again.
Well, no, it's not necessarily his favorite thing, but it's something like unique to Japan that everywhere else should take after.
The taxi drivers don't ask questions. They just drive.
Yeah. Oh, that's a nice one. Like,
wait, do you guys not have Uber?
No, the taxi lobby is so powerful they don't want it here. They've been able to tell Uber to fuck off, and it hasn't really
That sounds
out.
Like Turkey too. When Uber came to Turkey, a bunch of cab drivers like just got together and started banning it and beating the Uber drivers up, and then the president's banned it.
Oh my God.
Uber is not well received, man.
It's so great though. You can just choose an option for them not to talk to
it
you.
Is.
It's so convenient. Yeah. I love that.
All right, I thought the best thing about Japan, and it's an all right one, is the service culture. There's a saying here in Japan that customer is God, and you feel almost like a godlike figure when you walk into a shop in Japan. Like, I remember when I got my iPhone 8 or 9, whatever it is, I went into the NTT Docomo, the shop, and after we did all the contract and stuff, they got down on their knees and handed it to me like a dagger, like a sword I was going to use to vanquish my fucking enemies, and it was just an iPhone 8. And I felt like a fucking king. It was glorious. But like every place you go into, you feel like a king or queen when you're in Japan. Like, you feel like a god, and I love that. It's incredible.
Does it not make
empowering.
You feel a little bit awkward? Because I think I would feel awkward if
I'd definitely play into that. Same. I'd take it and start knighting the workers there too. Like, it just
feels
something
I'd probably
cool.
Take offense to that.
I mean,
but it's
some benefit.
Minimum
it can be
wage teenager who had to go through training to like get on his knees and worship some fat fucking neckbeard asshole. If he spits on you, you lick it up and you say thank you.
I think one of the things is like when you go in a restaurant here, everyone shouts like "Irashaimase," or if you leave the restaurant, everyone shouts at you. And often all the staff in the entire restaurant will like stop what they're doing and shout goodbye or hello. And that can feel a bit intimidating. I remember when I first turned up here, that was kind of scary. Like, just leaving the restaurant, if you're trying to be discreet, it's not discreet because everyone in the restaurant turns and they're like, bye, see you later, have a good one. And it's just like, shit, I wanted to leave quietly out the back door.
That is awkward.
Swings and roundabouts. But there's no tipping. That's another good thing about Japan. We don't have to tip here. There's no tips. So restaurants and cafes, dining out is a lot cheaper than, say, the US or the UK.
Are they paid well, tip or do they just not get the money?
I think they're paid a little bit better, but there's an expectation in Japan. The problem with a tip, right, is you're evaluating someone's service, right? And in Japan, they want their workers to be giving 110 fucking percent every time. They shouldn't have to sort of, they don't want customers to evaluate how good you are at your job, because you should always be giving 110%. So the tipping thing would actually make it a little bit awkward, if that makes sense. It kind of makes it awkward. Mm-hmm.
Do they feel like they're being judged?
Exactly, right? It's that whole feeling of being judged. But when you work at a Japanese company, you have to sort of take away a degree of your humanity. Like, it's far less common to have like banter with somebody when you're at a restaurant or a shop. People working at these places have to be quite robotic. They have fixed phrases. They have certain ways of acting. It's all a bit odd. But again, customer's God, and it can feel kind of cool. I remember after living here for 2 years, I went back to the UK for the first time. And I remember just trying to talk to all the staff and all the places at the shops, because it was exciting to be able to talk to them again like normal, as people. Because in Japan, you have to be kind of this almost robotic figure. And it's all rather odd in that respect. But yeah, you take the good with the bad. The service quality is good, but a bit of humanity is taken out of the equation, I feel.
Was it weird to go back to the UK and like go to a restaurant? Like, why aren't you guys sucking my balls? What's going on? Why is there
why
no cheers?
Why aren't you giving me my fucking cheese flavored crisps on your knees? Why aren't you bending down? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Why aren't my Cheetos being handed to me like a sword?
I didn't realize that tipping was, I guess it's more common than I thought, because we don't tip over here in Australia either.
I think tipping is only in the States and the UK, right?
And I thought it was only in the States, to be honest.
No, it's in the UK too, isn't it?
It was in the UK as well.
I mean, I remember the first time I was in the US, like all British people, we have to go to Florida, to Orlando, Disneyland at least once. And I went. And we went to a place called the House of Pancakes or something. I don't know if it still exists. Is it a thing?
IHOP.
Is it good?
Somehow it's still alive, yeah.
House of Pancakes.
Is that IHOP?
But like the next table, the table over from us, decided not to tip their waitress. And I remember when they walked out, she started crying. And it was a really big deal. Aww, and that's when I realized how serious tipping is in the US.
It's not her being entitled, though. It's literally part of their salary. In America, we underpay servers, and they're supposed to make that up with tips.
It's honestly, I don't get it. It's so fucked.
It's extremely fucked. It should be abolished everywhere, but it's an old tradition. We just don't let die. I fucking hate tipping.
We made up the shortfall. We gave her a big tip to try and cheer her up. So nice British tourists.
The difference is tipping when it's a necessity, when it's like needed for them to make a livable wage. That's a negative. But if it's just
I think they should be paid a livable wage, but also if, you know, the delivery guy is giving me a pizza and ordered a bunch of fucking shits and it's like snowstorming outside, but I'm going to tip him. It's just a nice thing to do. Like, thank you.
If
I can afford it.
The practice
but
is
not giving him
shit.
That tip shouldn't make him cry. Like, that's... Well, if they're driven to the point where they need those tips.
Right. That's fucking cruel. They shouldn't have to rely on the tipping.
It should be just
the most profound impact on me as a 9-year-old British kid in Florida. I remember feeling quite emotional and thinking, wow, I should tip people more. It's just a rather bizarre situation.
And then you went to Japan where tipping is illegal.
And then there's no tipping here. Or there's no house of pancakes.
You hated tipping so much you moved to a country that doesn't do it.
Very true.
There's robots. You give them like 1 yen and they're like, no, I can't accept this. You're insulting me and my ancestry. Commit seppuku in front of you.
God.
Jesus.
No, man, that sucks. Pay these people. These poor fucking people who have to deal, most of all, like, airline, what do they call them? The hostesses?
Stewardess.
Flight attendants.
Stewardesses. Yeah, like, waitresses, stewardesses. Dude, they deserve more money than a fucking doctor. They deal with way more shit. I feel bad for them.
Absolutely.
So, Chris, you probably get
tip
this,
your waiter.
You probably get this question constantly, but I'd love for you to bring it to our show. What would you say is the weirdest or most bizarre thing you've seen in Japan?
I think the hostess bar culture is something I still struggle to wrap my head around. I don't know if you're familiar with it. To be honest, I wasn't really familiar with it before I came to Japan, this whole nightlife culture.
Give a rundown for everyone listening.
Yeah. I only know about it through Yakuza games.
Oh, is that where you can...
Yeah, I was going to say, if you play Yakuza games, like, you'll know it quite well. Like, you go in a hostess bar and you're treated like a king. And you go in, there's lots of women, and you sit down and they'll sit next to you in your group. You're going with a group of people, your salarymen, colleagues, whatever, and they'll sit down with you. And they'll pour your whiskey, they'll light your cigarettes, and they'll kind of massage your ego, make you feel like a king. And then they'll make you do karaoke for extortionate periods of time. And it's quite a surreal situation, just having like two girls sitting around you pouring your whiskey, putting microphones in your face, lighting your cigarettes. I remember the first few times I did it, I was like, oh, this is quite good. But then you have the same sort of superficial conversations and it feels a bit weird. And there's a real superficial nature to it because the girls, who are very good at it, they're very skilled, they do often just ask you the same questions and it just feels a bit weird. Coming from the UK, to have to pay quite a lot of money. We know we're talking as much as $30, $40 an hour for this bespoke service. It just feels like you're just paying for friendship. You're paying for somebody to talk to you. But in the town where I used to live when I first got here, in Yamagata Prefecture in the north, that was all there is. There's no fucking nightclubs. You go out to a restaurant, you have a drink, and then you go to one of these hostess clubs and you sit there and you have three or four girls sit around you and tell you you're amazing and tell you you're the best thing since Harry Potter and fish and chips, and they'll reel off every fucking thing they know about
the
UK.
All right,
and they're like, wow, you're Harry Potter. Wow, fish and chips. Wow, the Beatles. And those are the three things that they always bring up about the UK. So depending on what country you're from, I don't know what they would say for America. Hamburgers?
I'm surprised they let you in. I thought normally they barred foreigners from doing it.
No. That's a common misconception. That's never happened to me. Honestly, if you hear that, that's bollocks. I've never been anywhere where they haven't let me in. The only place they do that is like in touristy areas where they get loads of tourists and they've got like a little gentleman's club or something of locals and they just don't want foreign tourists just coming in and crashing a nice little quiet bar. But that doesn't really happen.
How much English do they speak then? Like, I don't know. I got the misconception. I watched a documentary on this a while ago and I thought they were very, very much just like a Japanese culture thing. So like they're not going to speak English or cater to tourists. It was very much like...
Pretty good.
Yeah, I get all of Japan lore from Andrew, so now I feel like all of it's wrong. So Andrew said, if I ever go to Japan...
No, like people here don't speak English that well. The grammar's just so different from Japanese. But they will try. And if you go to a bar... if you go to a bar and drink with people, it really opens up. Like people here, after they've had a couple of drinks, they'll just talk so much English. It won't be the most grammatically accurate English, but they'll try and they'll have a laugh. You just need to give them a couple of beers and it all kind of unlocks it. It unlocks the English. So, there's plenty of English around.
What about tattoos? Andrew always says if I go, I'm going to get like in trouble because of my tattoos. Is tattoos like a strictly Yakuza thing or is Andrew still misled by video games?
You're exaggerating. It was definitely not.
I
wasn't saying you were going to get beaten in the streets. I'm saying there are some bathhouses that won't let you in. That's all.
All right. That is kind of accurate.
I'll take it.
Because of the association with tattoos and the Yakuza, it can be a little bit tricky to go into like a hot spring or like a public bathhouse. They can be a little bit dodgy about that. I think your tattoos in particular, Charlie, might be a little bit difficult to cover up because a lot of people can sort of hide them, but yours are quite visible on your arm, aren't they?
Are tattoos culturally looked down on or just accepted as a Yakuza thing?
It's weird. I think a lot
of
people...
If you just did the Western trashy, I'm going to get a tramp stamp, like that's not acceptable.
Your mum's name on you.
It seems really outdated, doesn't it? Because obviously if you're coming from the UK or the US, Australia, you're not going to be in the Yakuza. So it's always felt a little bit weird. It's just those historic connotations, I think. Those kind of historic context.
I played Yakuza. Do it. I know how it works.
Andrew knows how to pedal drums.
You don't know us. Yeah.
Wait, Chris, do the Yakuza still exist in any capacity?
They do, but their numbers are pretty heavily diminished. They're not really around much.
Do you know any?
Not personally, no. I don't really have any friends who are in the Yakuza.
Ooh.
I'm not in the Yakuza.
That's just British what
Yakuza
a man would say if he was in the Yakuza.
Damn it.
I'm on you.
They do exist, but... the old government had a clamp down on them and their numbers have really gone down. Like there's just a lot of Yakuza just really don't see the point of being in it anymore because it's just too difficult to live. they kind of disappeared
Did they at all get like desperate in their dwindling numbers? Did they start doing crazier shit?
Recruiting Fortnite gamers or something to get their numbers up?
I remember one time I had to cancel a hotel booking because there was a shooting in Shinjuku, Tokyo, just out the front. I was going on a date at the hotel and I had to cancel it because I was like, sorry, I can't go to the hotel with you because someone just got shot out the front. But it's pretty rare.
Cancel a date for that? You're not dedicated at all.
I feel having a shooting isn't a good background for a date.
Could have been a really cool story, though. Like, yeah, he was there for me, but I got him first. Kind of like what Kaya said initially with Logan Paul.
Should have used it as an excuse. Yeah, they just blew some guy's brains out at the reception. Why not come over to my place instead?
No blood and gore here.
Smooth.
Smooth.
But yeah, I mean, the tattoo thing, I think you'd be right. Just if you go into some hot springs or something, or a bath, a lot of them might just say no. But you could just go in anyway and break all the rules. The odds are they won't call you out. So I have a lot of friends that just don't care.
They'll like that.
They'll be down on their hands and knees worshipping you as you break their rules.
Finally,
after
1,000 years, someone finally does it. The prophecy.
So you brought up bathhouses. That's another thing I wanted to ask about. Like in anime and stuff, you see everyone like bathing together. Like everyone's naked around each other. Is that super common?
Oh yeah. I like did that 2 or 3 days ago. Like a lot of towns have like public bathhouses, and a lot of accommodation in Japan has like a bath, like an onsen, hot spring. And you typically go there like after you've had dinner, nice dinner, whatever, you'll pop in there and you'll just sit there naked. And it sounds weird potentially, and it was weird the first few times I did it, but after a while it's bloody nice. Like there's something quite therapeutic and relaxing about just sitting there naked with some friends having a chat in a hot spring. It's bloody beautiful. Most people love it. Like, that is the one thing you've got to do if you come to Japan. You've got to go to a hot spring. And if you do have tattoos and it's difficult, just rent somewhere that has its own private, like, hot spring bath in it. And that is a pretty good solution.
So, are people who have tattoos just considered, like,
badasses?
Dangerous bikers in Japan?
Yeah. It's like rebellious.
He has a tattoo.
Bad boy figures. Wow. They're the ones that have tattoos.
God, is that a clock on his chest? Holy damn, fuck, this guy means business.
I should get one of those corny, what is it called, tribal tattoos on my shoulder before I go to Japan, just for the street cred.
Get a skull tattoo on fire on your elbow or something.
But don't commit. Get one of those, what do you call them, the ones that you just wipe off you? Like the...
The temporary?
Temporary tattoos.
Like a tat sleeve, a tattoo sleeve. One of those corny ones too, like, yeah, I love guns and fireworks, what of it? I'm American.
Skull and bones.
Guns and fireworks. What a combo. Whatever. Fucking hell. Guns and fireworks. That sounds like the name of a really shit indie band, doesn't it?
Guns and fireworks. What an awesome
just the American
tattoo.
Pastime. Fuck
I love cheeseburgers and boom booms. So,
gun, sex, and rock and roll, because I'm a Republican. Yeah, stars and stripes.
So how do the Japanese view nudity then? Is it just it's just something that doesn't even register on their radars? They don't care?
It's weird because people aren't really allowed to wear like reveal it. Well, they are allowed, but people don't wear revealing clothes in public, right? Like we have in the West, where people, you know, girls and guys just wear whatever they want.
Bikinis.
And show all the flesh. That doesn't really happen here. People don't show off their flesh in public and stuff. It's only public bathhouses and hot springs. So it's a weird
that
thing.
The bathhouses, they're like sex segregated, I assume.
They are. But some of them are mixed gender, and that can be a little bit awkward from my experience. So I try and avoid those. That are just a bit odd.
Yeah, that would suck.
Take a first date there.
God, yeah. Well, I just remember going with my girlfriend once, and there were just like three guys in the corner just staring at her. And I was like, why is this a thing? This is a shit idea. And we left quite promptly at the time.
Was it her idea to go there or yours?
That is a weird idea. Right?
It's fucking weird.
I would have warded them off with defense tactics. I would have like spread my anus and walked towards them and shit.
Slapped your cock against the water.
Got an erection while looking at them.
Your balls.
It challenges into a fight by splashing your cock around.
Oh God.
Switch it up on them, just start having sex and then they're the cocks. They're watching you.
That is something you've got to do when you come to Japan.
Have
you're
sex
be
with your girlfriend.
That does that.
Yeah.
In a mixed onsen. Break all the rules.
Yeah.
Why not?
So what's something that...
That'll be...
Go ahead, Kaya.
No, sorry, you go ahead. I was going to say it would be so fucking awkward if the five of us are in a bathhouse naked.
Do a podcast episode from it. Oh, we should
have you do a podcast with our dicks out.
Yeah, you should.
Fuck yeah.
That'd be great. It sounds like weird and creepy, but the awkwardness like disappears very quickly, from my experience anyway.
Yeah.
But it is a little bit awkward the first few minutes. Just having your dick out in front of all your friends, but it goes away.
Would your dick shrivel up, or is it like hot? Is the water warm enough where you don't
have
to deal
with that kind of embarrassment?
The water's
very hot, so it doesn't happen.
Okay.
Yes, cool. It's like 45 degrees Celsius, so it's pretty hot. Actually, no, it's more than that. It's 50, I think. So.
Well, yeah.
Jesus.
Okay. Wow. So, Chris,
what's a shrivel up?
What's something that Japan's doing right now that the rest of the world doesn't even know about? Like, do they have any fads that are interesting or anything that they're super into that people don't really talk about? What do you see on the streets of Tokyo?
On the streets of Tokyo?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Not a whole lot at the moment because of COVID, unfortunately.
Well, it's probably the worst expression I could have used, but you know what I mean.
Oh, no, I've recently discovered an interesting topic that I'm thinking about making a video on called Johatsu, which means evaporation. And it's a thing where people just up sticks and disappear in the night. So say you decided you hate your life, you get this company in, like a Johatsu evaporation company, and they'll come in and they'll do all the paperwork, they'll do everything you need to just disappear and fuck off and go. And all your friends and family won't know where you've gone, what's happened.
That's not at all what I expected. I thought the Japanese were just super interested in watching things evaporate, pour water on the ground, and just watch it go.
That'd be pretty cool, too.
You called a vacuum company? You need a replacement part for a vacuum, whatever the hose number 447,
yeah,
and then you pay $200,000, and he makes it disappear? That's a thing in Japan?
How do you know they're not killing people? Or assassinating people.
How do you know they're not killing people? It's a curious thing, but like, there's so much social pressure for people here, right? Letting down your family, your friends, whatnot.
Right.
People get really embarrassed and there's a lot of shame. And one easy way out is to spend $2,000 to get a company to come in, tidy up all your apartment, pour your stuff at the back of a lorry and fuck off to the other side of the country and start all over again with a new identity. And yeah, it's a really interesting phenomenon. And I'd love to make a video on it and actually interview some people, but I know a friend
Maybe
of mine,
you should
his
hire
brother
them for
did it actually.
$2,000 and get disappeared and like document
yeah, I should do
the entire
it.
Process.
I could do it and make a vlog about it and completely be completely redundant, wouldn't it? Because I'll be showing everyone what I'm doing. But I think it'd be quite fun. But yeah, no, one of my friends did it. A good friend of mine, his brother just disappeared one day and that was it. He was gone. And then about 10 years later, he resurfaced in a massive city the other side of Japan. And he was like, all right, I'm over here now. And he was like, what the fuck? Why did you just go? And it's so weird, like that concept, this concept. I just love the way it's called evaporation. It's kind of, sounds quite chilling, doesn't it?
It's evaporating really cool, into the actually. Night. I think that is fucking awesome.
Do you want to evaporate?
No, not at all. But I just love the idea that it's out there. It's so fucking cool to think about that.
And it's a legitimate, like, professional service. Like, they actually do it, you know. It's not some sort of shady Breaking Bad character. It's an actual company that'll do it for you, which I think's bonkers.
I can't believe they're actually able to pull it off. That's what's insane to me. Like, because our lives are so, like, online and such. Like, all your information is out there. Your identity.
Well, I think the company kind of takes care of all that for you. They make sure, like, you're completely wiped off the map. You're gone into the night. And they do it at night, typically. So, yeah, evaporation.
Yeah, but the government has to be allowing this. There's no way that this can happen against the government's will.
I think in Japan, it's very difficult to get the government to help you out with such matters on like privacy and stuff. Like if you want to find out where someone is, you're not allowed to go into the government records or something. Like it's pretty hardcore here.
Okay, but about like tax
No,
and
right,
stuff?
But if you were, say, the girl or the guy who was killing people on Twitter, the suicidal people, if he wanted to vanish, there's no way the Japanese government would allow that, right? Even if the company wanted to try that, they'd find him.
Probably, in that case, because he'd committed a crime. They might be able to, you know, do some certain things to get around it. But for the most part, they can't. If someone just disappears, like if I choose to disappear tomorrow and I haven't committed a crime, there's nothing anybody can do to find me, basically. I can just go.
But the evaporation company would still, I assume, have your customer records, like records of you
Yeah, but how would you know which evaporation company? Say my friend is like, shit, where's Chris gone? They're not going to know which company I used or where I went, and the company's never going to tell them. So it's a pretty effective service, really. It's pretty damn effective. It's sounding more and more tempting by the minute. Kind of want to do it now.
Yeah.
Want to do it for a laugh.
That's super interesting.
I want to disappear and start a new podcast in Japan under an anonymous name.
Just start a new YouTube channel like Dave in Japan and wear a wig and a silly fucking face mask. Change my voice.
I'll be another Turkish guy. I'll be Hasan. Hakan. Was that the guy in Street Fighter?
Hakan. Yeah, I think so.
But there's all sorts of weird services like that. Like a popular service that's all you always see online is the one where you can hire a family, right? You can hire like a family to just come with you. Or
what?
I've seen that.
There was a story, I think, just 2 weeks ago of a guy who you pay to do nothing. He'll just come with you to do things. He won't do anything. He'll just sit there and eat. Yeah, you could just pay a guy like $20 an hour and he'll just come with you and do nothing. Does that sound fun?
It's a great deal for that guy. He just gets paid to sit around and do fucking nothing.
Apparently, he's pretty popular though. Like, he'll go along to, like, with people who are doing difficult things where they don't want to go alone, like to do contracts and stuff. If he just turns up,
he'll just sit there quietly,
being intimidating.
I think that's very fair. That sounds like Fiverr, where... You guys know when like Fiverr girls were like, hey, pay me $5 and I'll play Overwatch with you?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, okay. If there's men willing to pay for that, fair enough. It sounds like in Japan that has become officialized to the level of a John Wick universe where you can hire a person to do anything for you with a gold coin.
Yeah. I mean, He cost 10,000 yen, which is about... what, $100? He's 37 years old. His name's Shoji Morimoto. And he will not do anything except eat, drink, and give a simple response. That is all he does. A simple response.
What a life. I quit the podcast. I have a new job. I like awesome. That.
I really like that.
It's way better.
Like to sell himself on Twitter.
I'll drink high-shelf sake and say yes or no.
To sell himself on Twitter, he's written, I offer myself for rent as a person who does nothing. Is it difficult for you to enter a shop on your own? Are you missing a player on your team? Do you need someone to keep a place for you in a queue? I can't do anything except easy things. And I think he's had, since he launched his services in 2018, he's had 3,000 clients.
Holy shit.
I really
for
like
a man
this
that doesn't
guy.
Do anything, he's successful.
Yeah, I think this is awesome. I'd hire
him.
He's been hired to have lunch. He's been hired to pose for photographs for Instagram, accompany someone filing for divorce, or catch butterflies in the park, and also to listen to healthcare workers struggling with their work.
I love this.
Quite nice.
I unironically think this is awesome. I think we need more people to do this.
I unironically want to be that guy. How do I quit this job and get that one?
You have to learn Japanese.
Talking about dicks and farts into a microphone. How do I catch butterflies under a cherry blossom tree? That sounds heavenly.
It does sound good. But yeah, we all need a Shoji Morimoto. I'd love to hire him.
Yeah.
If ever I need some content for my YouTube channel, I'll just hire him.
We should hire him for the podcast and just have him chime in so often.
Oh, yeah. Only ask him really simple
English?
Questions.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Do you agree, Shori?
Does he know the English words yes and no?
We could teach him.
I don't
know
if he knows any English, but we could try.
Damn it.
We could teach him if he cares
teach him English.
To try.
He'll give a simple response in English.
You could be the translator.
It doesn't have to be English either. We could just ask him something and just wait to hear his Japanese and assume he agreed.
It's not going to work for an hour.
It's good enough.
But like, I think it's kind of sad. I mean, it sounds funny and cool, but like the main reason people rent him is because they're bored or lonely. And in Japanese culture, like the reason these services exist, like hostess bars where you pay girls to talk to you, is because there's a lot of obligations, right? And having friends, you don't want to burden your friends with these problems. So people turn to these sort of services to help them out and get around that feeling of obligation, right? And that sense of guilt and shame that accompanies it. It's just easier to pay for someone who you don't know, just sit and listen to you or pour your whiskey or whatever. So it's a really interesting thing. That's very hard to wrap your head around unless you kind of understand the way Japanese culture works and the sense of guilt and shame that accompanies a lot of day-to-day kind of aspects of your life.
Yeah, I guess that is fucking sad. Not for him. Yeah, he's making a lot of money, but...
Definitely not for
3,000 clients. Yeah, that is $100.
Well, where does he go to feel the same? Does he have his own, like, whatever the equivalent is of his own
Patreon?
Business?
Yeah,
like,
who listens to him and provides simple Patreon responses? The cycle will never end.
Maybe he's super lonely.
It's a sort of chicken and egg philosophical question, isn't it?
It's sad.
All right, we should probably wrap this one up, right?
I have three questions that were brought up to me. What do you miss about the UK, Chris? Do you miss anything about the UK?
Pubs and sausages. Pubs. They don't exist here. Or bacon. No fucking bacon.
They don't have sausages?
No cheese. They're rubbish. They're
no
not
cheese.
Good.
Yeah, they
no
don't
cheese,
have any
really.
Dairy.
Yeah.
Storeful, yeah. No cheese, bacon, or sausages, or pubs. So I miss those four things. Those are the holy four.
Why no cheese? Why no cheese?
Lactose intolerant. People here can't handle cheese or milk. Oh. They get really bloated and, yeah, it doesn't work. It's bad.
Like my Japanese friend the other day. That's true. Like Asian people are more susceptible to lactose intolerance, which really sucks for them,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. Drinking milk never really took off here thousands of years ago, so they haven't adapted to it. Like I remember a Japanese friend came to London to visit me. And on the night before he left to go back to Tokyo, he ate a cheese board the size of Spain. And he ate all the cheese. And I don't know what he was thinking, but on the plane on the way home, he was just sick for like 12 hours nonstop. The whole plane must have been drenched in fucking sick. And since then, he's never eaten cheese again. So there you go. Lesson learned. The great cheese disaster.
Second of three rapid fire questions. Do you see yourself living in Japan for the rest of your life, or are you going to move on eventually?
I see myself here for the foreseeable future. I think what will probably happen is I'll get a house in the UK and I'll just divide my time between Japan and the UK, because most of my friends are still like, they're here in Japan now. My life and my purpose and everything I do is here in Japan. So the idea of going back to the UK and leaving that behind feels unthinkable and stupid. So I think what will happen is I'll end up just dividing my time, but half the year in Japan, half in the UK. It's the most likely thing.
Best of both worlds.
It makes
best
sense.
Of
both worlds.
Yeah.
It does sound nice, yeah.
Feel like a god and eat cheese. So yeah, I can feel like a god in Japan and then go home and eat some fucking cheese in the UK. Live the dream.
Once the Chinese invade Japan, you can just run to the UK.
Exactly.
I'll let Charlie ask the last question, his favorite question, the staple of the podcast.
Oh, is it
Charlie?
The masturbation question? Yeah, is masturbating in Japan interesting? Any wild stories?
Well, like one of the most famous products in Japan is a Tenga. Do you know what a Tenga is?
I'm guessing like a rubber
Tenga.
Pussy?
No. Tenga eggs.
Yeah. You know them. That's great.
Yeah.
Everyone loves them here. They're not even like a product that people are ashamed of. Like I was in a shop once and they're next to like the kids' toys, fucking a sea of Tengas. And they're like these plastic,
fleshlights?
Basically. It's all rather bizarre.
Yeah, what are they? Fleshlights?
Well, it's just like... What is it? Like a... it's so crazy.
Sleeve?
I'll say it for you. Exactly. I can't say that out loud as a Brit. I feel wrong. I can't say it, but that's exactly
they're
what it is.
They're tiny portable fleshlights, basically.
Yeah.
So a fleshlight. Yeah.
Okay.
And they're very popular, and everyone uses
one. A cock sleeve.
And... And people give them as gifts. I got one, what is it? It's like Valentine's Day coming up, and somebody's already given me one, so that's great, isn't it?
Someone thought of you. A
special lady got you one.
It's nice, isn't it?
Is that a diss? Was that person insulting you?
I think it was a very thoughtful gift, so I'm going to enjoy that. Yeah.
You were complaining about not having a fleshlight ready for Valentine's Day, so someone got it for you? That's very sweet. Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you, Chris.
Crack out the Tengas.
that's this episode done. I think we're at time. So, Chris, do you want to tell everyone in our audience where they can find you and what you do online?
Just type in like Japan into YouTube and a video should come up. Broad Japan YouTube channel. Videos out once every whenever, usually every 10 days or so. And the Abroad Japan podcast as well. Wednesdays and Sundays, I think. Yeah. listen to that.
But, twice a week?
Whoa. Yeah, it's mental. I don't know what we're thinking. Wow,
man, Japan really is better than all of us.
Efficiency.
Efficiency, exactly. But yeah, check it out. Born Japan. It's quite good.
Awesome, that's man. Well, really really appreciated having you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, lads. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a good laugh. Thanks for making time for us.
We know it's late for you. It was nice of you to give us your time. Thank you.
Take us out, Jackson.
All right. Thank you, everyone at home, for listening to us this week. Patreon.com/theofficialpodcast if you want bonus episodes. We put up 2 a month, so go check them out there, as well as other stuff like early access to episodes. A whole bunch of stuff over at patreon.com/theofficialpodcast. Yeah. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Thanks.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you in Japan.
See you in Japan.